sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save.
Welcome to The Holy Place, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Bill Mobley from Calvary Chapel Gulf Coast in Estero, Florida. The Holy Place is the presentation of God's Word, simply teaching God's Word simply. The thirsty soul will be refreshed and the abundant life found. Today's message was recorded live at Calvary Chapel Gulf Coast. For more information, visit the website calvarygc.org. That's calvarygc.org. Here's Pastor Bill.
Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, verse 9, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on the 12 of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, three gates on the east, three gates on the north, and three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, its length, breadth, and height are equal. It's a cube. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass, and the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophase, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. So the beauty that God has created for us to perceive here on earth is astounding. I want you to think about that for a moment. That not only has God created beauty, but he's also created us with the ability to perceive beauty. That when we see a flower, when we see a colorful bird, or when we see a mountain setting, or when we go to the beach and we see the ocean, we are perceiving beauty because God has made us to perceive the beauty that he has created. And as staggering as the beauty that is represented here on the earth is, that we delight in what we're seeing here in this depiction is something far more glorious, far more beautiful than we can even begin to imagine. As astounding as the beauty on the earth is, but all the beauty that's found here, all the earthly and astronomic beauty, I don't know if any of you have seen the pictures, the photographs of deep space from that new telescope that they sent out into deep space. They're astoundingly beautiful is what they are. What we see here is only a foretaste of all that we shall see in his eternal glory that he has created for us, just like the old song says, just like the old hymn says, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That's the only thing that we've experienced in Christ here on earth, a foretaste of glory divine. And the New Jerusalem is adorned as a bride is adorned. And the New Jerusalem is adorned as a bride is adorned for the Lamb. And the reason that it's put that way is because we shall be inhabiting this New Jerusalem that comes down out of the new heaven to the new earth. And it's incomprehensible in its beauty. It's beauty. It's beauty. And what is declared there in verse 9, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. That's not the city. That's we who are inhabiting the city. And what we read in verse 2, I saw the holy city of New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, when we have weddings here, and when you had your wedding, you didn't just get married in jeans and a t-shirt, did you? You adorn, especially the bride, in most cases. Safe generalization. The bride adorns herself because it's a one-time event, and it's the biggest day in her life. And she goes out and buys probably a special dress and has all this, and the makeup is just so that you spend time, probably more than any other time in your life, as a bride, getting made up and making sure that in your finery, everything is just so. And this is the way that God is relating this to us in the context of a marriage ceremony, this bride adorning herself, coming down, being adorned by God to come down to present to his son, the Lamb. And John sees it, this new Jerusalem descending out of the new heaven to the new earth, having the glory of God, as we read there in verses 10 and 11. Having the glory of God, he says in verse 11. And he begins to describe the impression that this makes upon him, as all glorious buildings do. Architecture has that way of creating in us a sense of awe. And imagine the awe that is created in this new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as we begin to read its description. And he describes it to the best of his ability, its architectural details. And what's revealed here is something akin to what would be referred to by mathematicians and scientists as hyperspace. And the discussion of hyperspace, which is little understood and very difficult to communicate to anyone, pertains to the fact that there may just be, and almost certainly are, more than just the three dimensions that we're familiar with. And Paul even sort of brings it up in a way that I'm not even sure he was aware of. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul writes about this. And he says, beginning at verse 16 in chapter 3, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to, listen to this, comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth. And he adds a fourth dimension and height that gets slipped in there. There's only three dimensions that we're aware of. So he slips in a fourth. Was it by accident? Was it a slip of the tongue? We don't know, but there seems to be a reference to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And when we think about, if you're familiar with the atomic structure, how much space is present in an atom? And, you know, when I touch something that's solid, it's not really solid. And you've probably been given the illustration, and I believe it's true, that if an electron was the size of a tennis ball, it would be rotating around the proton, the neutron, the same distance from New York to San Francisco. Now, I'm not an atomic scientist or not. That's the illustration I've heard. There's that much space that's present in an atom. There is no real, true solid. It's mostly space. So is there enough in that space for more dimensions to exist? Well, probably. But it would be like something that exists in two dimensions trying to understand and grapple with explaining a third dimension. You don't have anything to relate it to. But the indications are certainly that that's possible. And John reports to us, you know, God recognizing the Jewish people, verses 12 and 13, with the gates, the 12 gates around this holy city, the New Jerusalem, and the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel inscribed on those gates. And then in verse 21, we see that the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Gosh. The walls are 216 feet high if you do the measurement by, you know, if you translate the cubits into feet. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And so a pearl is not kosher. It comes out of a oyster. Oysters aren't kosher to Jewish people. It's a really fascinating, interesting thing. And pearls are, of course, you know, where they're produced by some sort of irritation that the oyster partakes of, and then it forms some sort of mucus around it, and it hardens into a pearl. So fascinating stuff. And also recognizing the Gentile peoples, if you will. In verse 14, of the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And in verses 18 through 20, we see the construction of the wall. When he talks about, he gives the materials list, was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass.
You've been listening to The Holy Place with Pastor Bill Mobley from Calvary Chapel Gulf Coast in Estero, Florida. You can listen to today's study or any of Pastor Bill's teaching on the entire Bible at calvarygc.org. Just select any option under Media. Again, the website is calvarygc.org. Calvary Chapel Gulf Coast meets Sunday mornings at 10 and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. at 20991 Three Oaks Parkway in Estero, Florida, just about 0.3 mile north of Corkscrew Road. The phone number is 239-949-0914. That's 239-949-0914. The Holy Place is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Gulf Coast in Estero, Florida, and is a ministry to all of Southwest Florida. And remember, with God's word, you can make wherever you are a holy place. Make you